Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. If you have not met me before, or if you don't recognize me, my name is Ben Friesen. I am one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Community Church. Welcome to our live stream. Before the service itself gets started, we wanted to cut away to our Cornerstone check-in, but instead of talking about what they are doing, the Maxons and Petersons have teamed up to show you a bit of what they're doing and bring a bit of fun to your day. So we're going to go to that and we'll be right back here. I hope you recognize that from Full House. It has been so long, I had to ask Caitlin to make sure I had the name of the show right. Thank you, Maxons and Petersons, for bringing some good laughs into our day. We appreciate it and appreciate you showing what you guys are up to. Well, happy Mother's Day. Again, if you haven't met me, if you're just tuning in, my name is Ben Friesen. I am one of the pastors here at Cornerstone Community Church, and we are celebrating Mother's Day today. I hope you are enjoying today, whether if you are a mother, that you are enjoying today, that you're able to get some enjoyment out of it. If you are celebrating a mom in your life, I hope you are able to celebrate with her, to make her feel good on today. And even if you're not able to be with your mom or your kids aren't able to come and be with you physically today, I pray that you'll find a way to connect with them. We recognize that today is a celebratory day. It's a day that's celebrated by many, many millions of people around the world. But I also acknowledge that today can be a hard day for a variety of reasons. It can be bittersweet if your mom has passed away. You've got the good memories of her, but there is also some sadness too, being able to not make more memories. Days like today can hurt for other reasons too. For some of us, our mom was not a positive force in our lives, someone who hurt us with her words and actions. And some of us may have chosen to not become mothers. Others of us may have wanted to be mothers, but aren't able to become mothers biologically. And we know some mothers have had their children pass away, and that grief just seems impossible to bear. And we've seen all of this in the news this week, whether it's Ahmaud Arbery's mother grieving his death, a Topeka family whose mother was killed in a shooting this week, or mothers and grandmothers around the world who have become sick and some have passed away from this COVID-19 time. We recognize that our world is full of grief, and we should be praying for these mothers and their families. And I invite you to join Caitlin and I in doing that. But wherever you are at, whether you are in a day of celebration, a day of grief, or even a mix of both, God sees you and God loves you absolutely. We actually have a maternal image of God in the Bible. In the Gospels, Jesus talks about longing to gather Jerusalem's children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings. There was actually, back in biblical times, there was actually a desert hen that would have been common in that region, that when a fire came and threatened her nest, the desert hen put herself down on top of the nest and spread her wings out so that the nest was covered, her chicks were covered, and the fire would consume, it would kill the hen, but she would sacrifice herself to save her chicks. And that is an image, absolutely, of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for all of us. But for many of us, that's also an image of our mothers, the mothers in our lives. So we are going to be sharing stories today. All of these stories are going to come from people in our congregation who are mothers. And we're just going to go straight into the first one. So I'm going to invite you, pay attention with me, and we're going to go to our videos.
When I was given the title of mama 11 and a half years ago, I definitely didn't realize what all entailed. I had the very best mom growing up, but she did not let on how much work it was to be a mom who always showed up, gave a love away freely, taught us through example and words, and pretty much knew how to do everything. I want to be a mom like the mom I have and the mom I remember growing up. And while I've learned a lot in the last 11 years, much of it through my constant phone calls to her, I have learned the big things like patience, love, and being present, and also the little things like which order to introduce our baby foods, how to potty train, sight words, how to ride a bike, when it's okay to let them go to their first sleepover, and so many, many other things. The biggest thing that I've probably learned about is letting go. It's really hard as a mom to not get in my own head and just trust that we're doing the right things for our kids, or that we can just let them be and let them make their own mistakes. But I'm grateful to have my husband and our families to guide us, but also probably the biggest is just to be able to give it to the Lord and let him take it. Our kids challenge us on the daily to be more, whether it's to learn more, play more, or unfortunately right now to cook more a lot of the time. But I wouldn't change that. I'm definitely blessed to have been given the opportunity to be a mom of these four amazing kids and to be trusted to raise them right and send them out into the world to change it in their own way.
Hi, I'm Ann Bartel. Being a mother means more than just getting candy, flowers, and cards. It means getting love and support throughout the year. Our daughters call us each day to see how our day has gone. They tell us their positive things and their concerns. We, in turn, tell them our concerns and our positive things that have happened during the day. Since we all make cards, we write cards to each other once a week. When I open the mailbox, I smile all the way back, just to see that I've gotten a letter from one of the girls. My grandmother had a plaque on her wall that said, "Prayer changes things." I was taught at a very early age that it was very important to pray for my children and grandchildren. When the children were little, my joy came from teaching them to play the piano, sing, cook, sew, and do other things. And now, it's as life goes on, our role has changed. My job is to pray for them and to support them, and they intend to support us. Happy Mother's Day.
Good morning. What's it like being a mom for me to Brooklyn and Carson? So I would say that it is the most rewarding, challenging, exhausting, overwhelming feeling, but in the best possible way. It's being able to adjust to the ever-changing ages and stages, and then adding in another kid. And just when you think you have it all figured out, then you have to adjust again and the stage changes again. It is seeing yourself in your child and thinking, what have I done? It's constantly worrying about things that will probably never happen. And most importantly, it is a gift that I am forever grateful for. Happy Mother's Day!
I also have one last one from Esther Ediger. She sent hers to me in an email and asked for somebody to read it, so I'm going to read it here. This is from Esther. Pastor Ben asked me to say a few words of my experience of being a mother. Well, I have been a mother for 67 years. I have 6 children, 4 girls, and 2 boys. I also have 6 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. I've enjoyed each one of them. As they were growing up, they often had to help with housework and yard work, but even those were sometimes fun times. God has blessed us all with fairly good health, and I thank Him for that. Judy used the verse from 3 John in giving her testimony, and I think it is very appropriate. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's very meaningful. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Sarah, Anne, Demetris. We really appreciate all of you. Thank you for sharing your stories. And thank you for being part of our congregation. You are a blessing to us. Many other mothers in our church are as well. Thank you to all of you. Now we're going to hear from Pastor Susan. She is going to share a story about her own story and connection with being a mom. Nathan is going to help her by reading some scripture, and then we'll hear from Pastor Susan.
Genesis 18:8-12. Abraham gave the men the calf that had been cooked. He also gave them milk curds and milk. While the 3 men ate, he stood under the tree near them. The men asked, "Where is your wife Sarah?" "There, in the tent," said Abraham. Then the Lord said, "I will certainly return to you this time a year from now. At this time, your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were very old. Sarah in the past had the age where women would normally have children. So she laughed, "My husband and I are too old to have a baby."
Every Mother's Day, I remember God's promise, and Sarah laughed. I remember to never give up hope on God's promises. I received my answer to decades of praying when I was 51 years old. You see, I always wanted to be a mother, but I wanted to be a mother to many, many children. When I was a teenager, I was in a play called The Baker's Dozen, and I decided right then and there, that's how many children I wanted. I wanted a baker's dozen. And then, at age 15, after having a physical for my college admissions, they found out my health issues were more serious than they had previously thought, and I was told to be safe. I should never have any children. Well, you see, I have always been the type that if you tell me something cannot be done, I'm going to show you that it can be done. So, in college, I met Robert, and we married shortly after our 18th birthdays. By the time we were 22, we had had 3 children, and we had lost 3. I spent a lot of time in hospitals, and at the birth of my last child, I weighed 89 pounds. There would be no more children. And I wept. And wept. I went to the altar repeatedly and I prayed for another baby. And God answered me with the promise that our house would always be full of children. And many would call me mother. Not born of the womb, but born of the heart. But a baby, Lord, I would plead, if only for a moment, a baby that needed to know they were wanted, that they were prayed for, loved. And He answered my prayers with, and Sarah laughed. And as the years passed, our house was filled with children and laughter and tears. And people would hear that we took children and teenagers in who were in crisis or their parents were just not able to care for them. And we would receive a phone call or a visit. And we would open our door and our hearts, and they would stay with us. And we loved them, and with smiles on our faces, we would return them when all was better, while inside my heart broke a little more each time. But I began to realize they were never mine, but always God's, and He trusted us enough to give us His children for a time, and just love them, and to speak life and hope into them. Yet still my heart longed for a baby, and I prayed and prayed for years, and then the years became decades. And after I turned 50, I went into the darkened sanctuary one day and lay upon the steps where many had knelt, where I had been knelt since I was 5 years old, and prayed and wept. And I asked God, why? Why not just one baby? There's so many out there that need homes, that need parents. God, why? Why, after all these years, have I not been given a baby? And now? Now I'm over 50, and it's too late. And then I felt His presence, and I knew He was smiling at me, and I heard the words again. And Sarah laughed. In July of that year, one of the members of our church came to me. He and his wife were chaplains at the local women's prison and told us about a mother about to give birth, that she had lost all of her other children, and this was her second chance. Would we be willing to take a newborn for around 4 months until the mother was released from prison? A baby. A newborn baby. Azraela Liliana. My mother renamed her Lily the minute she saw her. And she is with us years later. And her last name is now Evans. My daughter Amber says my eyes light up with just the mention of her name. And I do love her with all my heart because of who she is, how she came to us, and that every moment of every day she is a reminder of how God answers prayers. Not on our timeline, and not how we usually expect, but when we need it the most, and when it blesses not only us, but all around us. I also think of Tasha and Justin, and Larry and Becky, and how they prayed for years, decades. And then they were blessed, not the way they had planned, but in God's timing and His plan. They were births of the heart. I think of all of those who long to hold their child in their arms. And I pray, and I remember, Sarah laughed. And God's timing is always right. I have given birth. I have lost children. I have miscarried. And I have wept too many tears to count. And spent countless hours at the altar praying for a miracle. And the older I got, hope seemed to disappear. But I now remember Sarah laughed, and a promise fulfilled in God's perfect timing. Whatever, wherever you are in your life, whatever you're going through at this time, I pray for your promises yet to be fulfilled. I pray that in God's perfect timing and in His way, you will be answered. God bless. And until we see each other again, goodbye.
I hope that has left you inspired, connecting to the stories of mothers, mothers that we are connected to here in our church, and seeing how God has shaped them into who they are, and God is continuing to shape them. And whatever story you're bringing forward, I hope and pray that you know through it all that God is connecting you, that God is empowering you. Whether you come to a day like today with great joy and gladness, a little bit of grief, even a mix of both. That God is empowering you, connecting you to you, and wanting to draw you closer and closer to Him. So, may you be blessed today, and happy Mother's Day. Take care, congregation. Oh, what? Let's pray. I forgot, of course. I'm reminded by Caitlin here. This is how you know it's live. Let's pray together. Absolutely. God, thank you for today. Thank you for an opportunity to celebrate the mothers in our lives. Thank you for who they have been to us, the meaningful people that have brought us into this world, that have cared for us, nurtured us, helped us. Thank you for the gift that they have been to us. We pray today for those who have experienced grief on a day like today, whether they are mothers who have had children pass away, whether they're people who haven't been able to become mothers and have wanted to biologically, whether it is people who are grieving the loss of their own. There are too many stories to count. We even are reminded of the stories we talked about in the news of Ahmaud Arbery's mother grieving his death, of the killing of the mother here in Topeka, for the families losing mothers and grandmothers because of coronavirus. God, be with them. Lift them up today in a special way. Empower them with your blessing. And for all of us that are here right now, as we gather via technology, we ask and we pray that you would empower us, help us to celebrate the moms that are in our lives, to be joyous with them, to be able to connect with them at some point today and tell them how much they mean to us. Help those of us that are grieving, and may we know that even if we are in grief, that we can still connect to you. Be with us, Lord, and help us ultimately be drawn closer and closer to you as we look at the lives of our moms and see how they have worked to help draw us closer to you. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thanks for joining us, church. May you be blessed today, and happy Mother's Day. Go in peace.